Prep Sports Now is back. Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. Sorry to miss you last week. Obviously, with everything going on, we felt it would have been a little inappropriate to record early in the week. Of course, tragedy still in our hearts. The shooting, we lost a couple members of the football community in Charleston-Hartfield, and Quentin Robbins, our heart goes out to them, especially beautiful tribute at Basic versus Coronado, the game I was at last week. Certainly something we'll be thinking about for the rest of the year, but you know, the team's persevered, got through a tough week, and there was some good football last Friday. We think there will be again this Friday, some rivalry games. Brewer's favorite game of the year, Green Valley versus Basic. A lot to talk about. Where do you want to start today, Ray?
Yeah, I just, you know, I want to echo your thoughts. Really awesome job by everybody who put together that Basic Coronado tribute and the tributes at other schools that we didn't get to see. But many schools had helmet decals. I thought it, you know, it was that photo that we had on your story of the teams together before the game. That's pretty neat to see. So I'm glad we got through this week. You know, moving on to some pretty cool rivalry games. Virgin Moapa, right? Floods in the Water, the Pirates. I gotta get Moapa's schedule lines up so good for them, right? Two of the three league games at your yard.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
And then the one that's not at your yard is Del Sol.
That works out pretty well.
Like, whoever is making the schedules, Brett Lewis is just giving them a check.
And I think, I mean, it's clearly helped them out, I think. I think that they would be the first to say it on Friday. I mean, the Shap game was a battle. It came down to the very end. They ended up winning by two touchdowns, but that was two late touchdowns. So, you know, when it's a close game like that, it's hard not to say that playing at home, especially when it's in Overton, didn't help them out.
Yeah, and so that's going to be fun. Last year, Virgin won the rivalry game, and this year I hear it's just going to be wall-to-wall people. So that's going to be a pretty fun night for those communities. Obviously, Henderson Bowl, which for me is the best game of the year. Basic Green Valley, you know, the initial two schools to pop up in Henderson. Basic, of course, during World War II. Green Valley in the 1990s. Even though the Basic kids would rather beat Foothill and Green Valley, probably to want to win the flag more against Coronado. Anytime there's a trophy involved, especially a trophy with history, that becomes quite important. So that's going to be a game that that we'd want to see. And just a few other games that should be close. Faith, Shadow, for example.
That stuns me. Are you sure about that? The kids would rather care more about Coronado and Foothill?
I know for a fact. I mean, I'm confident, and maybe they could correct me if I'm wrong, but the Basic kids would rather beat Foothill. If you asked the 35 kids on Basic's roster, you could win one game, Foothill or Green Valley, who would you pick? I would say an overwhelming majority would say Foothill, because they grew up, you know, attending the same schools, playing on the same youth teams. The schools are just so close in proximity. Green Valley seems like it's, you know, an eternity away.
Yeah, I still don't know, though. I mean, I was at Basic, of course, after they beat Coronado, which I think was their best game of the season. It only finished 45-22, but they had the running clock. It was really not that close, which I think makes this game better, which we'll get to. But just standing around after the game and hearing the way the kids were already excited about Green Valley, hearing the coaches' speech had me fired up and ready to play. I'm sure it was a similar scene after Green Valley beat Silverado. That surprised me. Hit us up, Case Kiefer on Twitter, Ray Brewer 21. I really want to know. I'm not saying Brewer's wrong by any means. It just caught me off guard. I thought this was the game. I know it's, you know, when there's like national rivalry things that come out, it's in like the top 50 in the nation or top 100 mm-hmm. or whatever. And I think a big reason for that is, of course, like you touched on, the history, the trophy, that's all big. But I think why this rivalry has kind of endured to me, at least since I've been here, it's like every single year, I've never gone into this game once and been absolutely certain who's going to win. I think these teams are usually pretty evenly matched. You lean one way or the other, but never is it just like a mismatch, at least since I've been around. I think that helps make the rivalry that much better when the teams are usually evenly matched.
It was a mismatch in the 90s, and
oh yeah, I knew that. That's why I qualified it since when I got here.
There's this you know, when Green Valley was a machine and it was rolling and it reached the state championship game one year, they were up 60-some to nothing in the fourth quarter, and they scored. And there's an argument if they end up completing a 2-point conversion after the touchdown. And the basic people to this day will tell you that it was a fake 2-point conversion, and Green Valley will tell you that the holder dropped the ball and then had to get up and throw it. But that just really added fuel to the rivalry. There was a fight one year that added fuel to the rivalry. And I think the fact that Basic was able to win some games added some fuel to the rivalry as well.
Yeah, for sure. Basic now has won 2 years in a row. I believe maybe even – no, they won 2 years in a row. Green Valley had won a couple years in a row before that. So it's been back and forth. This year, I mean, both teams in some ways are similar. They both can really throw the ball. They both have really explosive offenses. I think Green Valley has done it more on a week-to-week basis. I think if you look at the season as a whole, you'd be hard-pressed not to say Green Valley's been a little bit better. I mean, you just look at last week, they shut out Silverado and destroyed them. 2 weeks ago, Basic just barely slipped past Silverado. But as I said, I was so impressed by Basic on Friday night. The coaches said it was the best they'd played. It makes sense when you're starting a sophomore quarterback like Paul Miro. It's going to take a while for things to get together. But I got to tell you, he looked phenomenal. I think he had like 2 incompletions. Was just very impressed by him. If they play like they did on Friday night, I would not be surprised at all if they're in line for the upset.
Yeah, and I think if you look at both Basic and Green Valley, it's what team, and this of course is a commonality with football in general, but what team is going to make the first mistake? You know, what team is going to continue to make the mistakes? If you look at, you know, how their seasons have gone, turnovers have been a big key. You're right, you know, the Basic quarterback has become, you know, more comfortable. You know, Green Valley's quarterback has been great with the exception of Liberty, who, you know, handed Green Valley a pretty lopsided loss. And let's be honest, I mean, I don't think – anybody's beaten Liberty. I get the feeling about Liberty like you do about Gorman, where even when a team could play with you for a little bit like Foothill did on Friday, they just go and smash you and wear you out in the second half. I think you'd have to play that near perfect game to beat Liberty, but I mean obviously the playoffs aren't here yet. Liberty, the multi-time Sunrise champions reigning, and appears to be on a collision course to play in the state championship game.
Yeah, that's the gigantic asterisk next to my statement, because of course I saw Green Valley play Liberty and I saw Basic play Coronado, so you kind of have to consider the competition. I mean, Basic looked great against a defense that has had its issues this year in the Cougars, and Green Valley had its issues against a defense that's been pretty much should be able to shut down anyone around. So I think Green Valley goes in as the rightful favorites, but Basic, some things are looking up. I know they're going to be fired up for this game, and I know crazy things can happen in this rivalry.
Totally agree. Are you giving your pick now, or are we waiting?
I think we'll wait. We'll touch on – I know we talked
you know
about
who
it briefly.
You picked?
But yeah, I know who I picked. Okay. The picks are live.
Oh, the picks are live.
Yeah.
Oh.
So everyone could actually follow around no matter how early they're listening to this. But we'll get to that. I know you touched on it, but just think it deserves just a little bit more recognition based on how special this game is, the Hammer game, Moapa Valley and Virgin Valley. And for the first time in many years, Moapa Valley coming in off of a loss to them. They lost 14-7 last year. Virgin Valley been a really tough team to figure out this year. Moapa Valley's had its ups and downs too, but kind of what we expected. They're still on the top, even though they had a couple losses to Mojave. They were getting killed by Shadow Ridge before the game got lightninged out. But Virgin Valley, we thought might have been a little bit better, but now it looks like they're coming on. I don't know. What do you make of the Bulldogs and their chances going into Overton?
Yeah, you know, I think this game, just like Henderson Bowl, is probably evenly matched and probably not going to be decided toward the end. I know that Moapa Valley isn't as good as it's been during its whatever 7-year run that they had. And I know Virgin Valley has a real special player in the tailback, Levitt. Virgin Valley, Case, also had a bye last week where Moapa got taken to the test against Shap. I don't know if that factors in where you're going to have one team that's kind of been practicing 2 weeks for a game. that has the confidence that it won, or a team that has momentum from a fourth quarter win. You're smiling.
Oh, I just think the Virgin people are going to be howling at you. Jacob Levitt was the Moapa kid last year. Jaden Perkins for Virgin Valley, who, despite their troubles, I think you're right, has been phenomenal this year. Just as good as we thought. He's averaging like 9 yards a carry, has a touchdown in every game. So if I go with the, and like I said, we won't get to the picks till later, but if I'm going with the Ray Brewer theory of best player on the field, you might have to lean towards the Bulldogs.
What about Ray Brewer's other theory, name on the front of the jersey?
Well, then, given recent history, I'd have to say Moapa. Yeah. I wonder what's the overall – we should have looked this up, the overall series, though. Do you feel like has Moapa always been on top, or is Virgin good?
I mean, they've been
90s?
Playing forever, right?
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what it's like overall. I feel like Moapa – I feel like when I went there, I had asked a little bit about it, and I think Moapa's had the hammer more often than not.
Was that game more like hype or live, to use some kid terminology, than
– Live, really going deep in the teenage terminology.
Was that – in comparison to, like, a rival, I mean, you've been to a Henderson Bowl, right?
Yes. You know, probably I would rank it above the Henderson Bowl I went to. I still think one of those years, I don't remember exactly which one, and maybe it was back-to-back years where Arbor and Centennial were really good when they could bring out their entire schools. I mean, that's such a bigger school that it's easier. I think some of those games, when those two schools are at top of their games, are like the best rivalry mm-hmm. games I've seen in town. But
and I went to a bone game one year with Rancho in Vegas, and Vegas has won the game like 25 straight years in a row. And I didn't expect Rancho there to be that many people there. And there was a coach on Rancho's staff who is a Basic grad and who coached at Basic, and he was like, man, this blows Henderson Bowl out. And this is for a Rancho team that has been historically bad, obviously. Vegas isn't too good this year either. Still looking for win number one.
Oh, they're winless?
Yeah.
Wow, well, they have El Dorado this week, so we'll see if they get there. To touch on a few of the other rivalries going on this week, Foothill and Silverado, the
Bell game,
Victory Bell, Liberty Coronado and the Rose Bowl.
Oh, why did I call that the St. Rose Parkway something or other.
St. Rose Parkway Showdown. That's fine.
Did you change that?
No, I can. You want me to now?
Yeah, could you? I'm getting old. I can't figure it out.
I thought maybe that was like the formal name. I really didn't know.
No,
I just know people call it the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, my bad.
So, yeah, there's some places on the schedule. Maybe not official rivalries, but some games that I think are interesting against schools close to each other. Division games, Durango, Sierra Vista, Clark Spring Valley. I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching here. But if you look down the schedule, there's a lot of closely contested teams that are from nearby to each other. So I guess a team that's not playing a rivalry game this week, but you went to last week. I know you want to talk about your experience at Desert Pines. They beat Mojave on Friday night. I made maybe the worst pick of the year in going with Mojave, a team that I cannot pick right. I picked against them all year. Then I decided to jump on the bandwagon. They lose 35-6. In my defense, it does seem like the Jaguars have really improved from when they couldn't score at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I won every game except the one last week.
Yeah, you did lose the Valley El Dorado. Shout out to the Vikings for pulling off. Neither of us saw that coming.
Yeah, so the narrative with Desert Pines is, you know, they won state last year, 2017. They had 20-plus seniors on the roster, kids that are at, you know, Arizona and USC and, you know, making
it. Tony Fields doing good things at Arizona,
too. He's like the leading tackler.
Yeah, I think he had a turnover in last week. I mean,
yeah, fumble recovery.
Colorado game.
Yeah. So he's the real deal. And but Desert Pines is kind of reloaded. Its 2020 class has got there's 12 sophomores on the roster, and there's some kids that could get up and go. There's Jaden King, the tailback, CK, who already has a scholarship offer from UNLV. I mean, from Arizona. There's Jordan Butler, big, big boy up on the D-line, who played last year as a freshman. There's Jonathan Pinkett, who's got BYU and UNLV scholarship offers on the offensive line. That kid's 6'3", 245, by the way. And then there's this Darnell Washington kid who I was telling you about. 6'6", 230. He's a tight end. And we raved about Randall Grimes last year, right? The kid that went to USC. And we labeled him as like the best looking kid in pads that we've ever seen, right? Or at least I did.
I don't know if I actually saw him last year, but yeah. I know. I remember you raving about him.
Yeah, you look at the kid and you're like, oh my God, he's got a pro body. This Darnell Washington kid, I mean, you look at him and you look up to him and you're like, oh my God, this guy is equally well put together. So Desert Pines, while they're young, they're definitely talented, and they're gonna be really good in a few years if they could keep these guys together. But just a ton of good sophomores. Michael Lofton, 4 touchdowns, 200 yards against Mojave. I don't think it's too far-fetched to assume that Desert Pines is going to win out.
Yeah, I think they would certainly be the favorite right now. I still think there's some potential stumbling blocks, but if you're trying to name the favorite, it's got to be Desert Pines.
Apparently Truckee's back.
We might have some Northern influence this year. I will say it's unbelievable too. They have such a good sophomore class because, of course, some of those guys Brewer just mentioned from the past that have gone on to play in college. They all started as sophomores, all broke out on the scene together. Of course, had some tough. I mean, they were great, but fell just short their sophomore and junior years, and then came through last year. So it'll be interesting to see if this 2020 class can even top the 2016 class, I guess it would have been, or 2017 class.
2017, yeah.
Right. So that'll be interesting. Before we get to the picks, anything else you want to mention? Anything else stand out from the week that was or the week that is to be?
I thought Paolo put up a great fight against Arborview.
They only gave up like 3 touchdowns, basically. I think one was a fake punt or something, right?
Yeah, well, one was a kickoff return for a touchdown, and then the other wasn't a fake punt that – punter dropped the ball and then he picked it up and just kept running.
Okay, so basically they really only gave up 2 touchdowns straight on Arborview's offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess those other 2 would be special teams, so that's pretty impressive, even though they did lose 27-7.
Yeah, so good effort by Paolo, who, if you remember last year, looked like it wasn't going to make the playoffs, and I think they closed with like 3 wins and got the 4 seed. And Shadow, who was rolling, lost its final 3 and missed the playoffs, and we're in that same spot this year where Shadow's got Faith this week, then they've got Paolo, then they've got Legacy, and if they win 1, they're in. If they win 2, they're the 3. If they win all 3, they're the 2 seed. And Palo Verde kind of needs to win out, but they've kind of got, you know, Cimarron this week and games that are a little more manageable.
Yeah, so that should be interesting. We've been talking about the Northwest all year, and we're finally going to get our answers starting this week, that Palo Cimarron game and Shadow Ridge Faith Lutheran among 2 of the better games on the schedule, as well as Arborview hosting Legacy, who we know Legacy never going to back down from Arborview. Battle of the Bulls, that's right. Every Arborview game is a rivalry at this point. That's what happens when you've been as dominant as they have been the last few years. So you ready to pick some of the games?
Let's go, baby.
All right.
Are we different on any of them?
Very few.
Very few. Okay.
Maybe good. 1. Didn't mean to spoil it for you, but we've already teased it, so let's just get it out of the way. Henderson Bowl, what do you think?
I just think Green Valley's get-up-and-go offense is going to put a lot of pressure on Basic to score points in return. I also think Green Valley might have an advantage a little bit on the line. You know, the Gators, unfortunately, have lost a few of their top guys. Christian Marbury, for example. But I still think they got enough guys in their scheme to beat Basic. I think they'd be a small favorite, 8 or 9 points, and I think they're going to get the dub at home.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I didn't actually watch a lot of either team up front. I think it's just because both games are blowouts. There's a lot of vertical. But Green Valley certainly looks bigger than Basic. It looks like they should be able to push them around a little bit, not saying that will happen. It feels like a year where Green Valley gets back and wins this game. I know at the beginning of the year in our division previews, I had the Southeast and picked Basic in this game, saying it would be the game of the year. But I think I'm going to flip here and go Green Valley. Would not be surprised at all if it broke the other way, but if you look at their seasons, Green Valley has been better. You know, I think the weapons are pretty comparable, but I think maybe Green Valley is a little bigger, maybe a little bit more proven on defense, because Basic – like I said, that Basic Silverado game kind of sticks out.
Yeah, and you got to remember, Basic was coming off its week break after the Canyon Springs incident, and you know, they, for all intents and purposes, they dominated that game. They just couldn't finish the job.
Yeah, I mean, not counting them out at all, but I think if you're just picking them straight up, I think you have to go with Green Valley. You said you would make Green Valley like an 8-point favorite. That's exactly what I have them winning by 8. Going to be a very interesting game. Can't wait to see what happens. We'll certainly be talking about that one next week. I do not think it's going to be a blowout either way. Unlike some of the past few years, I got the Gators in a close one. We'll just get right into the next super close rivalry game, the Hammer game. Virgin Valley going to Moapa Valley.
I think Moapa's got some momentum from beating Shap last week late. I think the game's going to be nick and tuck, and I think Moapa's going to be a little motivated to get the Hammer back.
Does it is it a good thing, or does it scare you at all that now Moapa has gone to this two quarterbacks? They're switching quarterbacks in and out, expected to do the same this game. Daxton Longman and Luke Bennett each have had their moments. But, you know, I know some people are fine with that in high school. Some people say you need to pick one.
Yeah, I can't not trust the system. I think the coaching up there has been pretty consistent since we've been doing our podcast. And, you know, it worked against Chaparral. I mean, I think for Moapa, it's going to come down to can they stop the run. If they stop the run, then they're going to win the game. And I think Moapa, like I said earlier, they're going to be motivated to play. I got them winning.
Yeah, I think Moapa's just a little bit better this year. Kind of the same thing I said about Green Valley and Basic. I think Moapa, you look at what they've done, and it stands above what Virgin has done. That being said, I expect Virgin's best game here. There's just no way you don't come to play in a game this big. And we know Yori Ludvigsen, Virgin's coach, will have them ready to go. But I've got to go with Moapa's. I think they're a little bit better team. I think this comes down to the end, but I'm going Moapa Valley, just like you. Any chance for an upset in the Victory Bell game, Foothill and Silverado?
That'd be a negative. I think Foothill is just too good defensively. And, you know, they did give Liberty a good fight early. Had to settle for 3 field goals. If they could have punched the ball in a few times, I think maybe, you know, you just want to try to get to the second half with Liberty, and then Liberty will be like, okay, we got to put you away in the third quarter. But if you could get kind of through the third quarter, you got a chance, and Foothill almost got to halftime. Can't settle for field goals. You got to punch the ball in. I think it punches the ball in this week against Silverado, and I think Foothill has got a really good chance to be the 2.
Wow. Are you a little bit worried about our wager then? When you said Green Valley would beat them by 2 touchdowns?
That might be
my first $5 wager I've won all year. Didn't I have like plus 13 or something?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. We got to write this down a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we need to probably do that. All that being said, yeah, Foothill did hang with Liberty for a while. Liberty did escape with a 43-9 victory. But the same week, Silverado 49-0 against Green Valley, an even worse loss. I don't see Silverado staying close here. I think last week was kind of indicative of that. I got to go with the Falcons. Liberty at Coronado, looking like another blowout.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I mean, Liberty is so head and shoulders better than everybody else in the Sunrise region. I just don't see them losing to anybody. A team would have to play, you know, a near-perfect game, and Liberty would have to repeatedly shoot itself in the foot, which I don't think is going to happen.
Yep, agreed. Liberty, easy there. I would have to say this was the upset of the week last week. Neither of us had it. Like you said, the only game you lost. But Valley beats El Dorado, which should put them in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I think both teams would be in because Valley's got Rancho now this week, so
okay.
Valley's looking up to be the 3 if...
So they don't have to play Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, Quincy Burtz, my guy from Detroit, has done a great job with the Vikings. He's got those kids ready to roll every week, and awesome victory against Eldo. They're gonna beat Rancho on Friday, and that's gonna set up Vegas Valley for the 2. So Valley, I mean, with as bad as Vegas has been, granted they've been playing a higher caliber team, they're going to be playing Vegas for the right to host a home playoff game.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And I think that speaks to, you know, despite the level of competition or anything, they've clearly, Coach Burtz has done a good job over there and started to turn it around. I don't even think I mentioned their opponent until Brewer did. It is Rancho Valley hosting them. And we both say that the Vikings get another win. So two straight, pretty impressive from where Valley's program has been the last couple years. I wanted to ask you this one. I actually had a tough time with this because of how much Vegas has struggled. I would not be stunned if El Dorado beat them. Am I crazy? El Dorado at Vegas this week.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that Vegas has got a three-year guy under center at quarterback. I know the Eli Hicks kid should run wild against this opponent. And El Dorado, for me, I looked at some of the stats from the Valley game, and they're just, you know, they can't complete a pass. So if they're going to run the rock, they're going to be able to stay with Vegas. But unless Vegas is totally thrown in the towel because they haven't won a game and it's October 9th or 10th or whatever today is, I think they should seal the deal and get their first dub of the year.
Yeah, I ended up going with Vegas, too, in a close game. Just because you look at El Dorado's stats, and it seems like they are really struggling on offense. They might be a little bit better than we expected on defense. Maybe they can hold Vegas a little bit. But I think you still look at Elijah Hicks alone and have to say Vegas has the more talent. So we're both on Vegas there. Battle of the Bulls, rivalry game. We kind of glanced over when going over the rivalry games, but another good rivalry, Legacy at Arborview.
I'll tell you this about Legacy. One is they didn't play last week, so they've had 2 weeks to get ready. Two, I was at the Legacy Faith game, which Legacy lost, but Legacy physically is as big as any team I've seen in town this year. I mean, you could line them right up next to Liberty, Gorman, Arbor, pick your favorite team. And physically, they're right there. Now, are they going to be able to run their stuff? Are they going to be able to score against Arbor? I'm not sure. It would have to be a near-perfect performance by Legacy to beat Arbor. But, you know, rivalry game, both teams are going to be ready to go. I don't think Arbor's going to look past Legacy. But I think if Legacy could run the rock, which we know they can, they may be able to keep this one a little closer. I don't see it happening. I think, you know, Arborview, after, you know, getting Palo's best shot, they're going to come out ready to roll and be prepared, and I think they're going to storm.
Yeah, Legacy can certainly run the ball. I mean, they have several kids that have done it this year. Isaiah Whitehead, Aubrey Washington, even Valenzuela, the quarterback, can get out and scramble. But all that being said, I mean, Arborview has even more ball carriers. It's such a dominant offensive line with Haney, Stubbs, Graham, all those guys behind them. I just think where Arborview is right now, you can't pick against them, and neither of us are. We're both on Arborview. Palo Verde at Cimarron. I mean, the loser basically totally out of the playoff picture, right?
Yeah, I think Palo's defense, we saw what they did against Arbor. I think they're just going to manhandle Cimarron and get the dub and kind of try to do what they did last year to sneak into the playoffs.
Yep, we're both on Palo Verde. Big game in the Southwest. Whoever wins, I think, will be in the driver's seat for the number two. I think we've said repeatedly that we think it's Sierra Vista, but they have to prove it this week against the Trailblazers of Durango.
Yeah, Durango, I believe, 6-1, great record on the season. And I just think this is a massive upgrade in competition for them. I've loved Sierra Vista since the go. I think, again, they're the second-best team. And this is essentially for a home playoff game. I'll take the Mountain Lions.
Yeah, I think Sierra Vista, it's really impressive what they've built over there under Coach Foss. Solid defensively. Another team with a lot of guys that can carry the ball. I'm going Sierra Vista as well. Desert Oasis at Gorman.
Gorman.
Yeah, Desert Oasis not going to be the bottom of that league this year. Easy win for Gorman. Maybe the most competitive game of the week, Clark at Spring Valley. I feel like you could make a case for both sides.
Yeah, I think, you know, Clark lost a player who got ran over by a car and a DUI, and I think that's kind of hurt them a little bit. But Spring Valley has been consistently inconsistent, and I kind of like what Clark does offensively. This game could go either way, but I think Clark does enough to get the dub.
I think I'm going to go with Spring Valley here. I feel like
I can't blame you.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel like some of the games they've lost have been closer. It's because of kind of self-inflicted wounds, though. They've had a lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes when you look at their games. And it just feels like at some point, you know, the coaches are going to be able to bash it into their heads. It's going to get across that they got to be a little cleaner. I feel like maybe this is the week after they barely slipped past Bonanza in the Banner game. They got to be feeling good. I think the Mountain Lions get past the Chargers in a close one. So we're different on that one. That's our one different game of the week. Not to spoil the rest, but I think you'd probably know where we're leaning. Chaparral at Del Sol. I've got Chap.
I do too.
All right. Desert Pines at Cheyenne. I mean, we just talked about how much we like Desert Pines, that class of 2020. I don't think Cheyenne has anyone to match up with those guys.
I gave you that prompt at Cheyenne. I told you. Nobody, you can't go.
Every time I pick against Pahrump at Pahrump, they win.
You can't go from Craig and wherever Cheyenne is all the way to Pahrump and expect to play well.
Wasn't even close either.
I gave that to you. I got DP, and then in the next game, Pahrump at Sunrise Mountain. Do the math on the drive, and then I'll take the Miners at Sunrise Mountain.
Yep, Pahrump Valley did beat Cheyenne 35-15. Sunrise Mountain blew out Western 60-13. I think Sunrise Mountain's going to win another one fairly easily. Pahrump's certainly better than Western, but I've got Sunrise Mountain there as well. I think a case could be made. This is the game of the week, Faith Lutheran at Shadow Ridge.
You know, I don't disagree. You got a team that could throw the ball in Faith Lutheran with Sagan Groer. And you got a team that could really run the rock well with its misdirection with Cody Presser, the quarterback, Aubrey Nellums, the running back. Two contrasting styles, two teams that are going to be organized. I'm taking Shadow because I think they're going to be bigger up front. Faith has had a lot of injuries that they've overcome. I love their scheme. I just don't think they can control the run game. I think Shadow's going to run all over them. Give me the Mustangs.
Yeah, the Ray Brewer theory of the best player. I think Aubrey Nellums is the best player. As long as he's playing, I think I have to go with Shadow. And would not be surprised with either result. And certainly being at this game last year, I feel like I've held it way too much against Shadow Ridge. We talk about it every week, but Faith just destroyed them last year. So I have a little bit of flashback to that. But at the same time, I feel like that's going to focus Shadow Ridge in this year, and they're going to have something to prove. Close game, but I've got to go with Nellums and the Mustangs. Last game, another one I think is pretty obvious, Western at Mojave. Mojave, rough week against Desert Pines, but got to believe they bounce back here.
Yeah, the Walker kid from Mojave went for like 180 and a touchdown against DP. Kid is banged up with his back and ankle the whole game. Still put his hat on to play. He's the real deal. I love him. And they're gonna get the dub.
Got to agree, Mojave. So the only game we disagree on, Brewer has Clark. I have Spring Valley. Other than that, we're in agreement. We'll be back to see how right or how wrong we were next week. Talk Henderson Bowl, talk Hammer game, talk the playoffs going forward. Thanks, as always, for listening. Prep Sports Now.